You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Tuesday to you. We roll on. Basketball starts tomorrow for the Razorback men. They play Lipscomb. It's an off week for Razorback football. Razorback women's basketball began last night with a loss to Fairfield. We've got SEC soccer tournament going on this week. Arkansas opens the SEC soccer tournament today with the game against Georgia. Depending on when you see this podcast or listen to it, that game may be over. It's an early start for Arkansas and Georgia. We're going to talk about a little bit of all of it today on the podcast. Chip Souza is in studio with me. And Chip, let's go back to football last Saturday.
God, do we have to?
We've got to for a minute. 63-31. As you've had a few days now to digest what happened, what are your thoughts?
I don't know that we can get this done in 5 minutes. What happened is the best quarterback in the SEC came in and lit up what might be the worst secondary in the SEC. That's basically what happened.
You think he's the best quarterback?
I do. Who's better?
Well, I mean, if you look at NFL draft potential, you might say Carson Beck. Now,
nope.
Beck is struggling this year.
Yeah. Nope.
Ewers
nope.
would be in the conversation.
Nope.
I guess Manning would be in the conversation,
nope.
even though he didn't play
nope.
For Texas. I definitely think that the Dart's up there, and if he has performances like he did last week against against Arkansas, it's hard to argue against him.
Matt, did he have an incompletion in that game? I don't remember an incompletion.
He had six. He had six.
Wow.
I don't know that it was really it may have been more his fault than anything Arkansas secondary did. I would be interested to go back. I haven't looked this up, like whether or not Arkansas had a pass breakup in that game.
Boy, if they, I can't imagine that they did, because I can't imagine that a defender was that close to have broken up a pass.
I mentioned this yesterday. PFF said that he had six passes of 25 or more yards down the field, and he was 5 of 6 on those passes, like 284 yards, 3 touchdowns, a 158 passer rating. It was an incredible, and I said this, it reminded me of what we thought LSU was going to do to Arkansas, testing them deep. LSU decided to go, you know, that dink and dump route.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, that is really the first time I think we've seen a team test Arkansas vertically like that, because all the other teams that they've played have either been, you know, more predominantly running teams, or the teams that do pass it, you know, more like an Oklahoma State, they pass it quite a bit. They just didn't really challenge Arkansas deep a whole lot.
I would imagine that Steve Sarkisian is rubbing his hands.
Oh, there's no doubt.
With glee after seeing what Dart and Ole Miss was able to do to them Saturday night. And you know they're going to come in. Texas is going to come in gun blazing, man. They're, you know, I know a lot of people would say, well, Arkansas is not a big rival of Texas. It's the other way around. It's a one-sided, you know, hate process there. But after what Arkansas did to them a few years ago, they're going to come in guns blazing. Now, you know, Matt, you've been around here a long time. Arkansas is going to play a good game against Texas, but I don't know that it's going to matter.
Are they, though?
I mean, I don't know that it will matter.
No. I mean, like, that's the assumption. Is that Arkansas off a bye week, it's Texas, all this, that they're going to play a solid game. Their defense has really got to find some soul searching. To get them back to a competitive state, I feel like. I mean, I know we're talking about this a week and a half after they beat Mississippi State by 30-something points, but Mississippi State is a really bad football team.
Well, and let's go back and look at that game, that Mississippi State game. If Mississippi State capitalizes on just a couple of those opportunities inside
totally
the red zone,
game.
It's a totally different game.
Yeah,
and this is the worst team in the SEC, Mississippi State.
Oh,
right?
There's no doubt, yeah.
So –
Or Auburn,
yeah,
one of the two.
Yeah.
I would probably say Mississippi State's worse.
Yeah, you know. Matt was going to hit on the Louis Vuitton and blue light special thing, you know, that Sam talked about, and what a very unfortunate thing,
yeah,
to say.
It is.
If you're a guy that you brought in the portal, if you are a Talen Green, if you are a Jaquindon Jackson, or one of those new guys that they brought in, how does that make you feel?
I think it was more geared toward the offensive line, but I mean your point's taken.
So, you know, how do you kind of go back in the locker room and go, you know what, I didn't really mean that. I was, you know, just whatever. It's, you know, just I was trying to just let you know the difference between us and them. And then you're like, well, you're still really not, you know, saying favorable things about us. You know, even if you say that, why would you say that at all? And here's another one. Does Vanderbilt have blue light special players, or do they have Louis Vuitton players? Because, by God, they're winning with whatever they got.
They are.
So, you know, I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this in the control room earlier, and I made this comment yesterday. There's a refreshingness sometimes about Pittman and just how honest he is, that he's going to tell you what's on his mind. But sometimes what's on your mind needs to stay in your mind and doesn't need to get verbalized. And I think it causes you to put your foot in your mouth. It reminds me a little bit of, we were talking last year when they played Mississippi State, and they got in that situation kind of there in the 30-40-yard line, and they panicked and they froze and they didn't know what to do. And he said it afterward. I didn't know what to do. Were we going to kick a field goal? Yeah. Or were we going to go for it? I didn't know what to do. You can't say, it's so. Hey, Blake, pull up the Gundy clip, by the way. I want to play something that Mike Gundy said yesterday, talking about putting your foot in your mouth. I kind of think Arkansas, when Oklahoma State beat Arkansas back in September, that might be like the last great hurrah for Mike Gundy.
It could be.
Have you seen what they've done since then?
I know.
Absolutely nothing.
At one time, they'd lost six in a row.
They're on a six-game losing streak
right now.
That's
what I thought. Okay. So,
because they lost to Arizona State the other day. They are 0-6 in the Big 12. The week after Arkansas left there, OSU went over to Shelley Stadium in Tulsa and beat TU 45-10. And since then, they lost to Utah. They've lost to Kansas State, and that was a blowout. They lost to West Virginia. That was a blowout in Stillwater. They lost to BYU. That was an incredible late-night Friday game.
Yeah, I watched that game, yeah.
They lost at Baylor, and then they got blown out on their home field by Arizona State last week. This is what Mike Gundy had to say yesterday. I'm not exactly sure what prompted this, but this was on his weekly news conference, which was held via Zoom due to the storms that later came through our area. They're going through Stillwater about that time in the afternoon.
This place has had tremendous success for 18 and a half years, or 19. I can't do the math real good. And so, unfortunately, in life, most people are weak. And as soon as things start to not go as good as what they thought, they fall apart and they panic. And then they want to point the finger and blame other people. That you see it happen in everyday life. People do it all the time. That's why I refuse to watch the TV and watch the news, because I get tired of people complaining and bitching about this and that versus just doing something about it and trying to figure out a way to make it better. Well, that's what happens in college athletics. And as Jenny said, she's exactly right. It's just on the bigger stage where people can voice their opinion. And in most cases, the people that are negative and voicing their opinion are the same ones that can't pay their own bills. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of their own family. They're not taking care of their own job. But they have an obligation to speak out and complain about others because it makes them feel better. But then in the end, when they go to bed at night, they're the same failure that they were before they said anything negative about anybody else.
Agreeing with a lot of what he's saying there. I'm not disagreeing with a lot of that.
So what's the bigger foot in the mouth moment?
I don't know.
Pittman's blue light special.
Yeah, I like what Gundy. I mean, that's a great quote. I mean, that's why Mike Gundy is who he is. I mean,
he does not care.
He does not. He gives zero.
That's right. But I really wonder whether or not he's going to get another year. Like, do you think he'll be at Oklahoma State whenever they come to Fayetteville in 2027?
Interesting. 20 years at the same place is a long time.
It really is.
It's, maybe you've overstayed your welcome a little bit, maybe comes to mind there, and maybe
– he's never done anything other than Stillwater in his whole life, though.
He
played there, and then he was an assistant coach there, and then he became the head coach there. I mean, this is – the only life he's ever really known.
How many times has he used the Arkansas job opening to get himself raises? Probably, I bet you three times.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. It goes to show, though, I feel like this time of year, the stress that coaches who are not or whose teams are not performing up to a certain level that they get under. I mean, it's you can just kind of hear it there in his voice.
He's gone into defense mode. The season has gone way different, a 180 from what they thought. They had the best running back in the nation coming back,
have and a, he has done nothing.
And done nothing. They have a quarterback who's been playing for 12 years, it seems like, in college football. I know seven. You know, normally his name would be Dr. Quarterback so-and-so if you've been in school that long. But, you know, they thought they were going to be able to challenge for a Big 12 championship with Texas and Oklahoma gone. And not only have they not challenged for it, they're in the basement of the Big 12.
And that was supposed to be one of Arkansas's, you know, most challenging games this year.
Yeah.
Blake.
I remember going into the game between Arkansas and Oklahoma State, they were talking about Oklahoma State being a playoff contender.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were – I think they were picked second in the Big 12, maybe third in the Big 12 in the preseason.
Yeah.
Utah was the favorite.
Yeah.
And Utah, I mean, they're having a similar fall apart
type
year.
Quarterback issues there at Utah with quarterbacks being injured.
Well, and they both have gotten a seventh-year quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's kind
Cam
of –
Cam Rising still at
he's still there. Yeah. I think he's injured. But
Of course, because he's been injured every year.
Yeah, the announcers were talking about if Oklahoma State could run the table in the Big 12, would they make the playoff?
Yeah.
If they went undefeated in the Big 12.
This just in. They're not running the table. They're under the table.
Well, I mean, I think all of that talk was fair in the preseason. Oklahoma State, like we said, they had Gordon, who was supposed to be the best running back in the country. He won the Doak Walker last year.
Yeah.
They had all five of their offensive linemen. Phil Steele said on our show in August that Oklahoma State was the most experienced team in college football.
Their offensive line, I think, they've got all the way across the five offensive linemen, I think about 30 starts for every one of those five guys.
Just goes to show you never really know.
No. No.
You never know.
Things can go sideways.
Oklahoma's and I kind of – I alluded to this yesterday, and I didn't really get my point across that well. So basically, I kind of want to take another stab at it. But basically, I've not been real impressed with Arkansas's schedule – up until Ole Miss. Tennessee, I will give Tennessee credit for winning every other game that it has played, but Tennessee also hasn't played that tough of a schedule.
No.
You take the Alabama win away from Tennessee, and what have they really done this year?
Nothing.
And we know that Alabama's not Alabama.
And we thought Tennessee going into Oklahoma and getting a win there was a big thing, but it's not. Oklahoma's not good.
I wasn't that impressed with it at the time because you could see OU and the offensive struggles that they were having. Tennessee's got a great defense. They're the best defense in the SEC, potentially. Their offense, I feel like it's going to cost them somewhere down the road. It's so hard to ask your defense to have that kind of performance week in and week out. Oklahoma State, it was not that was a bad loss at the time when you outplay a team like that and you still lose the way Arkansas did. And as time has gone by, it's even worse of a loss for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, more magnified.
UAB, not a good team this year.
No.
Auburn's not a good team. Mississippi State is not a good team. UAPB shouldn't have even played that game in the first place.
Right.
And so the question is that, you know, Arkansas, you got to give them credit for having the record they have. They're 5-4, 3-3. I mean, there have been years in the past where Arkansas would have died for that kind of record.
Yeah.
But I just don't know, so what happened with Ole Miss the other day, they hadn't seen a team like that. And I think Texas is going to be kind of a similar deal. And so how do they handle Texas whenever they didn't handle that first, what I think is a real elite team that they played, or at least offense, a real elite offense that they played from Ole Miss, that they didn't handle them well at all.
When you get beat by five touchdowns at home, without their best offensive player even playing one play in the game.
Their running back got hurt early in the game.
Yeah. How do you, using a Pittman term here, how do you flush that and move forward to the next game?
That's the most overused term right now in football. Flush it.
Yeah. So how do you move past? I mean, it's one thing if you've lost a close game, in a game that you had a chance to win, but you know, maybe you had a turnover or something happened and you didn't, you know, you lost a close game. But how do you say, guys, we just got beat by five touchdowns to a backup receiver who scored five touchdowns in this game? Let's go back to work.
So I wanted to get into this. we just published overnight our efficiency ratings for this week. You can read it on our website right now, wholehogsports.com. Week 11 SEC football efficiency ratings, rankings, and predictions. Arkansas defense falling again. Their defense after the Tennessee game,
man, it's
was fifth in the SEC in terms of efficiency. And when you look at the three games that led up to that point against Auburn, A&M, and Tennessee, they allowed 49 points in 35 possessions against those three teams, and one of the touchdowns was against A&M where they gift-wrapped him a touchdown at the 10-yard line. So 49 points and 35 possessions defensively in those games. The last three games against LSU, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss, Arkansas has allowed 115 points, so that's 66 more points in 32 offensive possessions. That's three fewer possessions defensively for Arkansas, 32 offensive possessions for the other team. So 115 points in 32 possessions the last three games, where it was 49 points in 35 possessions the three games before that. You know, and we've said this, LSU, they moved the ball up and down the field. Mississippi State moved the ball up and down the field. They just happened to give it away five times, and that helped make that score a lot more, it was a lot more
bigger gap.
Widespread. Than maybe the game would have been otherwise. It's the same thing that we're seeing, and then, of course, you know, Ole Miss did what they did. It's the same thing we're seeing last year when they played Florida. They gave up 33 to Florida in regulation, and I think Florida's field goal kicker might have missed a kick or two. I know he missed the one at the end of the game, but I think he might have missed another one during the course of the game. Auburn and Missouri both scored 48, and they both did all of their damage really in three quarters.
Yeah.
And so do you see a common theme between last year's defense of, you know, the defensive lapse at the end of the year and maybe what we're seeing right now?
Well, what they did against Tennessee was a unique defense that they ran that was designed to help slow down the run game, and they did a good job there. There's a talent deficit there on the defensive side of the ball. There's a definite talent deficit, especially on the back end of that defense.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive line, I think, has at times this year played well. I think Eric Gregory's had a great season for them. Landon Jackson's been pretty good, and I know he draws a lot of double teams, so he doesn't have a lot of big stats. So I think defensive line. I think Xavier Sorey's been a hell of a player for them this year. After that, it takes a significant drop.
So take Jackson and Sorey out of the equation. Is there anybody else on this defense that would start for, say, like one of the elite SEC defensive teams?
I think Eric Gregory could be in a rotation. I don't know if he would start, but I think he could be in a rotation because I think he's a good run stopper, and he's got to the quarterback a couple of times. I think he could be in a tackle rotation. So, in that top five or six players, I think he could be that. After that, I don't think so.
Of course, Arkansas hasn't had Jalen Braxton since the Oklahoma State game.
Right.
The thought is that maybe he could be back for Texas, although Pittman got asked about him after the game the other day, and he said he still hasn't practiced. And so, you know, it's one thing to be ready physically. It's another thing to be game ready. And you wonder how much he's going to be able to add to the defense down the stretch if he hasn't been practicing. The thought is that he might be able to get into the game by the time they play Texas next Saturday. We got a lot of basketball talk to get to. Anthony Christensen's going to join us here in just a moment. We'll talk about Arkansas and Lipscomb that's coming up tomorrow night. Lipscomb actually opened its season last night. Baylor opened its season with a huge loss to Gonzaga. You may have missed it because it didn't start till 10:30 our time.
I bet Anthony watched it.
Oh, he was watching it. He and I were talking about it on the phone this morning. Anyway, a lot of basketball observations from Anthony. We'll also hear from John Calipari, who had his coach's show last night out at Sassy's after the storms moved through. We'll get to all that in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We appreciate you being here. I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. John Calipari had his radio show last night out at Sassy's off of Weddington Drive. They got it going right after the storms came through. It was a wild night.
It was a wild night.
Weather-wise, yeah. Here in Fayetteville. And Calipari even talked about, you know, kind of braving the weather to get out to the restaurant. This is what he had to say when he was asked about what happened down at TCU. Very interesting.
I was upset the day before the game because all of a sudden we became a little bit of an arrogant team. And I'm like, dudes, it was an exhibition game. And they didn't have their big guy. Well, we didn't have our big guy. So this is all about building a culture of what is expected, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. And before you can win where we'd like to win, you got to go culture first. And that means you hold the line. I keep telling them, my will is stronger than your will. And so when we went the Kansas game, what I thought was all that we wanted to do is look organized, which we did, fight like crazy, which I thought we did. And then the third thing was have fun so that everybody watches the game and says, man, that was fun to watch. And so, and then we happened to win. We made some shots. They missed some shots. Then we went to TCU. We got up 13 or 14, whatever it was. And then we started playing a little different. And the arrogance kind of kicked in, and all of a sudden, it's a close game. Now, we led the whole game until 30 seconds to go. Yeah, I said, and that's what happens when you play that way, when you don't play defense together, when you don't create good shots for each other. The ending of the game I put on myself, and I told them, you know, we get to that point in the game, you've showed me that you're going to need me to finish off games, and I'm fine with that.
So that was John Calipari last night out at Sassy's. Pretty interesting comments talking about an arrogant team. And I mentioned this yesterday. I think, Chip, that they probably, or he probably, maybe secretly said, "Hey, I'm glad this outcome happened because now I can get their attention again after a week of attaboys from the KU game."
Yeah, and it sounds to me like they're still maybe searching for that. You know, leader that can come in and kind of grab his teammates, you know, kind of by the throat a little bit and say, okay, this crap has to stop right here, and, you know, and this is what we need to do. So there looks like they're probably still maybe searching for that. Maybe they have that guy. Maybe John L. Davis may be that guy. I don't know. I know that Calipari really likes the way that he fights and scraps. A leader will have to emerge there, and I don't have any doubt that they will.
All right, we got Anthony Christensen on the line with us. Anthony is our basketball beat reporter. I'm not going to tell you where he is, but he's driving a little while today.
He's on assignment.
To fulfill his civic duty.
Yeah, he's Anthony. On assignment.
Anthony, when you hear John Calipari say that, what are your thoughts?
Kind of along the lines of what Chip was saying. They're a team that kind of needs to, I guess, kind of needed a performance like that, right? Or a game or a result like that, just to kind of, you know, see where maybe some of the flaws are, or see kind of, you know, where they still need to grow. Which, I mean, you're going to get a lot from that. And, you know, like you had mentioned, I mean, they led the majority of that game. I think they were losing at the end of the first quarter, and then obviously were leading the rest of the way until Brendan Wenzel hit the winning shot. So I think it is kind of some of that. I think they kind of learned that they need to, you know, step up their interior defense, which that'll come as Jonas Adu gets healthy. You know, whether or not he plays tomorrow, yeah. You know, we'll see. But yeah, so just kind of something along the lines of what Chip was saying, just that there's some growth, some areas that need improvement, but also that you know. You want to get that kind of a result before the games start counting. And I think that's something that he'll, or that he is happy about.
How many hours of basketball did you watch yesterday?
Let's see. So I was obviously watching games during the podcast when you had me on. That was, what, 10-ish, 10 o'clock?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
So from 10 a.m. until about 12:30 a.m. this morning.
That's dedication.
Watching the end of the Baylor-Gonzaga game. So
that's dedication right there. Yeah.
Good team.
So, yeah.
And he was texting me saying, hey, has the weather passed? Will I be okay to get over to Bud Walton? I want to see the women play Fairfield.
Yeah. No, you don't.
I was dedicated.
Walking out the door, and then my phone started screaming about the tornado warning, and I said, all right, well, I guess maybe I shouldn't go if there's a non-zero chance that I'll die in a natural disaster on the way there.
You know, the tornado sirens were going off in Fayetteville last night. The people who went to the game, like, they were going into Bud Walton Arena with the tornado sirens going off in town. We actually live in city limits, but right on the very edge of city limits. And so, for whatever reason, the sirens don't work out near our house, but walk outside and you could hear it back toward town, and it's kind of an ominous feeling there.
Yeah, I was at the gym last night at about 5 o'clock when it all started coming down, and you know, on a spin bike, and I said, well, you know, we're going to stay in here until the roof gets taken off. You know,
that's some motivation.
Yeah.
Hey, so Anthony, you watched Lipscomb last night. They beat Duquesne. What was it, 77-72? Here's the box score. But what did you see from Lipscomb that maybe Arkansas can prepare for tomorrow night?
I saw a lot of continuity, right? I mean, it's a team that brings back a lot of producers from last season, and also gets back one of their better players, Jacob Ognosovic, who was injured last season after he was picked as a preseason All-ASUN selection. So, I mean, there's a lot of continuity, a lot of chemistry. So it's a team that knows how to play together, just because they bring back a lot of pieces from a team that was already good last season. I believe they finished second in the ASUN last season and made the conference tournament semifinal, if I'm not mistaken. And they're good, right? I mean, the close score line doesn't really reflect how that game went. I mean, Lipscomb never trailed, led by as many as 18. So, you know, the 5-point margin is a little bit flattering to Duquesne, I think. And you have to remember, that's a Duquesne team.
Yeah.
Obviously, different roster and everything.
Had a good run.
That won an NCAA tournament game last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot to like. And that's a Duquesne team. Obviously, they beat BYU, which was one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country last year in the tournament. Different coach now, obviously, but from the same staff. So it's going to be a lot of the same philosophies and everything. And Duquesne was a very good three-point defense team. A lot of Lipscomb's success came on the perimeter. The way they moved the ball around the perimeter, I mean, you could tell those guys have played together for a while. And they can light it up from three. It's just kind of the way Lenny Acuff has that team playing. And they're very analytically driven. You're not going to see a lot of mid-range shots. They're going to be at the basket or from the perimeter. A little bit like Indiana State last year, just without, you know, a true point forward like Robbie Avila. But they move the ball. You can tell they've played together. And they can shoot the crap out of the ball. So those are the big takeaways for me.
Ognosovic had 30 points and 10 rebounds. 6'8", 220-pound senior for Lipscomb, the Bisons, the grammatically incorrect Bisons of Lipscomb. He'll be coming in here tomorrow. You also, you know, you mentioned you watched Baylor, and Baylor is Arkansas's opponent after Lipscomb Saturday in Dallas. They lost 101-63 last night to Gonzaga. It was a late night tip off. It was in Spokane. It was 10:30 Central Time when that game began. It was like the Monday Night Football post game show on ESPN2. You go from Peyton and Eli into Gonzaga and Baylor. I mean, is this just a byproduct of Gonzaga looking really good, or is Baylor got some issues?
I think it's a little bit of maybe both. Obviously, it's a lot of new faces on Baylor's team that need to gel together. and Gonzaga has a lot of continuity, right? I mean, they've got, you know, Nembhard, Graham EK coming back, a guy like Dusty Stromer, Ben Gregg. I mean, those guys have all played together in Mark Few's system, which has proven to be, you know, very successful. So Baylor, I think, had, you know, some maybe some chemistry issues, maybe trying to gel together. And that's a hell of a team to go up against when you're, you know, in your first game together. That being said, you know, maybe some of it obviously comes down to just how good Gonzaga is. It has been for, you know, a long, long time. So I think some of it does kind of come down to that. I was watching this game kind of fading in and out of consciousness. But you still see, you know, some of those flashes from Baylor, right? I mean, VJ Edgecombe is an incredible athlete. He's going to be probably a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. I mean, they've got all the pieces. And now that they've had a game like that where they've really been exposed, you know, they can go in and they can, you know, Scott Drew is a phenomenal coach. He's going to pick up pieces and, I mean, really have that team chugging along, I'm sure. But I was expecting Gonzaga to win with the home court advantage. And I also just kind of thought Gonzaga, with the continuity and with the pieces they have, are the better team. I was not expecting it to be almost 40 points.
Anthony, refresh my mind on this, too. With all the conference moving around and realignment and all that, did Gonzaga switch conferences?
Not yet. They're joining the Pac-12 whenever that kind of reforms.
I think that's in like a year or two.
Okay.
That they'll, and of course, you know, there's no football at Gonzaga. It's just right. Going to be all the other sports. Caleb Battle, the former Razorback, scored 12 in that game for Gonzaga. He was a starter for them last night, wearing number 99.
Oh, I love it.
It was kind of interesting watching these different Razorbacks. I saw where Joseph Pinion was Arkansas State's leading scorer. I think he scored 16 off the bench and led them to an overtime win over Akron. Tramon Mark was not able to play for Texas last night, and they lose to Ohio State in the I think they call it the tip-off series now. It's basically what used to be the tip-off classic. You know, Arkansas with Calipari here, you think back to almost 30 years ago, or it was 30 years ago actually this month, when Arkansas played UMass in the tip-off classic, and that's when it was in Springfield. They're playing it in Las Vegas now, which doesn't make any sense at all because the Hall of Fame is in Springfield, Massachusetts. But Texas fell last night to Ohio State. Texas A&M got upset on the road at UCF. South Carolina got upset at home, I think, by North Florida. So it's kind of an interesting night in the SEC.
You know, if they're going to play this thing in Vegas, they should call it the Tark Tournament or something like that. They should pay homage to Jerry Tarkanian.
Calling it the Hall of Fame series is a little odd. Anthony, any other standouts for you from yesterday?
Well, I mean, I watched a lot of Missouri Valley teams. It was a little bit of a disappointing night for the Missouri Valley. Bradley looked good against SEMO, as you would expect. not to get on a big mid-major tangent, but you know, there were some, you know, interesting results in that kind of realm where I kind of like to get my hands dirty. Towson put up a good fight against St. Mary's and stuff like that. I think the interesting result is kind of Texas A&M losing at UCF. I mean, that's a UCF team that was kind of hastily put together, but has a lot of talent.
They stormed the court after that game.
Yeah,
they did that. Yes.
What?
It's not about who you beat anymore. It's just about whether or not you win or lose. You win, you storm the court. You storm the field, you lose, you don't.
I guess it's, wow.
But I mean, that's a UCF team that, you know, there's a lot of talent there, kind of put together for, you know, a lot of off court kind of legal issues at other schools. So it's kind of like a last chance U situation. I don't want to say that, but that would be, I guess, the closest thing I can think of. But I mean, it's a lot of talent there. So I wasn't really surprised by that result. I texted my buddy kind of predicting that game to go the way it did, actually. I'm not there, so I can't show the receipts, but I promise I did.
I think A&M kind of fell apart at the end of that game too. And that was what was a little bit surprising about it. KU beat Howard by 30 last night. I was watching an interview with Bill Self with Greg Gurley, who was on our show a couple of weeks ago. And Bill Self, you know, he's talking about the Arkansas result. He said, I didn't like the result, but basically he said, I liked the ability to get the team's attention.
Yeah.
From the result at Arkansas.
They responded well after that. Yeah.
Anthony, before we get you out of here, Arkansas soccer opens SEC tournament play today with a game against Georgia. Now, again, depending on when you watch or listen to our podcast, the game may be ongoing. It may be over. It's going to be an early game. I think it's an 11:30 a.m. start down in Pensacola. Yep. Georgia's a team, I think this might have been the SEC championship game a year ago, the tournament championship. Arkansas didn't see them in the regular season. Georgia beat A&M in the first round. It keeps Arkansas from having to play A&M for a second time. That was a scoreless draw in Fayetteville a couple of weeks back. How do you see this result today for Arkansas? And I know I'm maybe putting you on the spot a little bit, but if they win, what's the road look like for them the rest of the week?
So on paper, it's a game you would probably expect Arkansas to win, right? They're the 2 seed, Georgia's the 7. Obviously it's a rematch of last year's SEC tournament title game. But Georgia lost a lot, but I mean, it's still a talented Georgia team, right? I mean, they've got one of the best goalkeepers in the country. They've got a lot of different versatile offensive attacking threats, and a strong midfield. So it'll be interesting to see how Arkansas maybe kind of tries to break that kind of stuff down. Obviously, Arkansas has had a really good defensive season as well. I know everybody looks at the goals they've scored, but they don't concede a lot of goals, right? So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. It's a game that, you know, maybe is won and lost in the midfield. So that'll be an interesting one to look at. And obviously Georgia's, like I mentioned, got one of the best goalkeepers in the country. Mm-hmm. As for, if Arkansas is able to win this game, what the rest of the tournament looks like, it's a little hard to say just because it's the first game of the quarterfinal. So you don't really know who's going to be in that semifinal or that final. If it goes chalk, obviously there will be a rematch with Mississippi State in the final, which would be, blockbuster must see TV, if you will. But it can be kind of cliche, but I know Colby's not looking at it that way, or Colby Hale's not looking at it that way. I talked to him on Sunday, and he's just locked in on Georgia. They've been watching both A&M and Georgia, since that matchup was locked in, because they knew they were going to be playing the winner of that. So in tournament play, you really do have to kind of keep your eye on that game. Speaking from experience, you never want to, look ahead too much to, maybe potentially overlook somebody, which, maybe happened to me in my playing career once or twice. But so that's, I guess, the brief synopsis of the Arkansas soccer tournament opener today.
Anthony, be safe out on the road. We'll see you tomorrow over at Bud Walton Arena. Anthony Christensen of WholeHogSports.com. You can read all of his basketball and his soccer coverage on our website. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ethan Westerman about this Razorback women's basketball loss last night to Fairfield over at Bud Walton Arena. But first, another word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass, committed, professional, and versatile in serving their community since 1971. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. RazorbackWomen.com. Ethan Westerman covers Razorback women's basketball along with many other things for our website at WholeHogSports.com. The Razorbacks opened the season last night over at Bud Walton Arena with an 81-67 loss to Fairfield. Not a great showing for Mike Nabors' team out of the gate, but Ethan, they also knew they were going to be challenged. This is a Fairfield team. They went 31-2 last year and really is kind of one of the mid-major teams to watch in women's basketball.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that knows anything about scheduling knows that you schedule way in advance. Like, this game was finalized while Arkansas had a totally different roster. I mean, it's not an excuse for what it was on the court last night, but I will say they scheduled this game knowing what a challenge it would be and expecting to have an experienced team, and they just don't have an experienced team right now. It didn't really surprise me. I'm going to be honest. I told somebody before the game, I gave them my final score prediction. I said 74-51 Fairfield. So they actually made it closer than I expected. But that's still not an excuse. Like, you're in year eight and this is, you know, you don't want to lose to a mid-major like that. But anybody who follows women's college basketball knows that Arkansas was actually an underdog in that game all along. But yeah, it was not a good showing. Fairfield, they're going to give a lot of people trouble, though, this year. I mean, they went 31-2 last year. They almost beat Vanderbilt, which Vanderbilt was an NCAA tournament team last year. So only one way to go, I guess, for the women's team right now, and that's up.
Ethan, what were some of the bright spots maybe that you saw last night? I saw Higginbottom had 22. I think I read Mike Nabors said she – kind of got tired or whatever, but what were some of the bright spots? I saw Jenna Lawrence had a pretty good game, had a double-double. So what were some of the bright spots that you think that this team can build on moving forward?
Yeah, for sure. Izzy, I mean, she played so many minutes. Who wouldn't be tired? How much of the load she was shouldering? She was definitely a bright spot. I know she's really mad at herself because she turned it over seven times. I think that's the second most ever in a game for her in her career, and she's – you know, her last year playing, she's mad at herself about that. But I mean, she had to take on so much responsibility that I think whenever you have the ball in your hands that much, you're going to turn it over a little bit more. She was a bright spot. I know she was blaming herself for the loss, which was, you know, it's always tough to see an athlete, you know, take that much responsibility for the loss. It was a whole team loss. I mean,
also kind of refreshing though, to take ownership in that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You don't want to play. You don't want your players not being upset about losing. But she really took it on herself last night, which is good. That's what a leader does. But it was a whole team thing. The defense just had a lot of room to improve. But you asked for bright spots. I mean, they can shoot a lot better this year than they did last year. It's just a matter of getting open. I'm going to probably sound like a broken record this year saying that whenever they get open looks, this team can shoot a lot better. Kiki Smith, who came in. She started, but she really took off in the fourth quarter. I think she made like two or three threes there in the fourth. If she's open, it's knockdown for her. So she was a bright spot. I think that collectively, I think just the way that they didn't – you get down 24 points to any team, and there's a tendency to just shut down. They didn't ever seem to shut down. They kept battling, which that's good. I mean, they got it down to 13 points in the fourth quarter. So I guess the fight they showed toward the end was pretty encouraging.
This feels like it's going to be an uphill battle for the women's basketball team this year. Their schedule, it's not just Fairfield. They've got a tough non-conference schedule. UCLA is on their non-conference schedule. It's difficult. They're picked last in the SEC. I mean, what's the forecast this year? How does this team you know, kind of pick itself off, you know, off the mat and you know, with all the roster turnover and everything they've had, how do they move forward and have confidence and be competitive in games?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that this team, the first step is just improve defense. They got to get better defensively, and that takes a lot of time with, like I said, it's an inexperienced team. They got to learn how to play defense together. That's the thing. Defense isn't a one-person thing. It's you got to have everybody connected on that end. And they just were too disconnected last night. There were too many open shots in the perimeter, too many easy driving lanes middle that caused those shots in the perimeter. So they got to improve defensively. I think for them this year, they really need to focus on in non-conference they need to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. I know people, fans are going to see last night's score and be like, Fairfield's a team they're supposed to beat. Yes, an SEC team should take care of mid-majors. People who watch women's basketball know that Fairfield isn't your typical mid-major. They're like, they're always really good. I wouldn't have favored them in that game, but I think they need to take care of the games they're supposed to, and that starts, you know, Friday. They have Texas A&M Commerce. They need to win that game. They need to beat all the in-state teams that they're playing. There's no reason this year to lose to an in-state team. There never really is, but they need to maybe – I think it'd do good for them to win one of these three non-conference games against Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, or Boston College. I think you need to beat a power program just to – That gives you some confidence to be a name that people are familiar with. And if you looked at SEC scores yesterday, Missouri lost to Vermont, and Texas A&M lost to A&M Corpus Christi. Mm. So those are two teams in the SEC you see right away that, you know, I think Arkansas should look at and try and finish above them. I mean, whenever you're picked last place, you need to make sure that doesn't happen.
They got a big women's basketball commit yesterday from Harmony Ware. She's a four-star guard out of Tennessee. What do you know about her?
Not a whole lot. I think that she had some offers from, you know, Kentucky's a name I remember on her offer list. Cal was a name on there. I'd heard that she was kind of like a few weeks ago that she had silently committed. I guess that yesterday was just when she made it public. I think she's friends with Jada Bates on the team, and that might have been a big appeal for her to go play with Jada, her friend. So I don't know a whole lot about her, but I mean, she's a four-star, and she's a, you know, with this recruiting strategy they have right now where they're getting so many international players, they want to keep like a 50-50 mix, I think is what Mike Neighbor said, with international and, you know, your U.S. kids. So she's a kid from the U.S. that can help out with that 50% of the puzzle.
The international players, how much of a – is there a learning curve at all for them, you think, this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's clear. They all speak so many different languages. They can all understand English and speak it pretty well. But I think that especially when you have, like, you know, Mike Neighbors has a huge Arkansas dialect. Trying to understand him is another...
Not just, you know, Arkansas, Greenwood Arkansas dialect. Yeah,
exactly. Like, it's just a very interesting salad that's coming together with this team. It's interesting. But they, I think there's a huge learning curve. I think Phoenix Stohine, who she's not eligible until the second semester, once she's eligible, she'll be able to immediately contribute. She got here last year early enrolled, and she's been in the program a little bit longer. I think that she'll be able to help out right away because she's a little bit more familiar at this point. But those other ones, yeah, it takes some time.
Last thing, Ethan, this Carly Tebolt-Dadonis, the head coach at Fairfield, how in demand do you think she's going to be at the end of the year?
Oh, very. I mean, she already was, I think. But I think she was already in demand, but she had her entire team returning this year from a team that went 31-2. And they were ranked last year. The very last regular season poll, they were ranked. So she knew that she had a really good team coming back to Fairfield this year, and I don't think she wanted to leave them. I think she wanted to probably stick it out another year with them, and they could, I mean, that's a team that could win a tournament game for sure. Or two, at the end. So I think that I think she wanted to come back for this year, but once the next coaching cycle comes up, her phone's going to be buzzing, I would guess.
Ethan, you'll be going to the game Friday, I guess, the elementary school day game, and you'll have to set up in the press area in the middle of thousands of screaming kids. You got your noise deafening headphones you're going to take with you?
Yes, earplugs. The most important thing is ibuprofen, though, because you're going to get a headache. So it's just, how are you going to deal with the headache once
it is loud? It is very loud and very high pitched loud.
It's a very strange dynamic because Arkansas has to learn how to, you know, and on your home court, you never play with people aren't screaming while you're taking free throws, but that happens on elementary school game.
Does,
I mean, it's like a strangely weird road environment.
Are they going to give the kids the bands that light up, the LED bands? Did they have those last night, or is that just
That'd be cool. I mean, night, that was the – I've never seen a less attended game at Bud Walton Arena than last night.
The storms had a little bit to do with that, a little bit, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's no doubt. That's why there wasn't anybody there. But it's going to be – it's just I'm not ready for this transition. If I had nobody at the game last night. So very peaceful.
It will not be that way Friday. It will not be that way.
Yeah, Friday it's going to be mayhem.
Yeah. Well, you can transition. They play Lipscomb in men's basketball tomorrow. Ethan will be there for that
game. Buffer. Yeah, give you a little buffer there.
Ethan will be there.
Yeah. Well, you cannot replicate 10,000 screaming children. No.
I was telling my 6-year-old about it yesterday, about what elementary day is. He goes, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
And so I mean, it's like rise and shine on steroids in the elementary schools. Whew. Ethan, we appreciate you being here.
Yep.
And we appreciate all of you being with us today. Hope you'll visit us at our website, wholehogsports.com, for all of our latest Razorback coverage. And we'll have another podcast tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a great day, everyone.